Lineouts. Racks.
Halls engage.
What an amazing try.
Tries and tackles. Dissected by South Africa's top rugby minds.
That is world class.
This is To The Last Drop, your weekly in-depth rugby podcast with Liam Delcombe and Brendan Nell.
This is To The Last Drop. I'm Brendan Nell.
And I'm Liam Delcombe.
Liam, it's a big week. It's a huge week for the Bulls. It's the finals week, grand final week in the Vodacom URC. And there's also the week the Springboks are starting to get together. So we start getting into a new phase now. We're going into Springbok rugby, which is good, but we still have a final, and quite a big final this weekend. There's going to be a new winner of the URC. Leinster have made their first final in the URC's four-year history, and the Bulls are in their third final in 4 years, and they haven't won a title yet, so it's a big game.
And both those stats are quite extraordinary, which I suppose will very much be part of the pre-final narrative as we build up to that big game. The fact, if you told people a couple of years ago that it will take Leinster this long to play in their first final, they would have thought it inconceivable. Similarly, if you told people that the Bulls would have so many shots at it, well, admittedly this is only their third, but still, that they would have won it by now. So there's a lot at stake. There's a huge amount at stake for both sides. I don't want to talk about monkeys on their respective backs. That's not going to count for much. I think whoever loses will have a little bit more pressure on them for next season. But I think if you just isolate this final, it's going to be a fantastic game of rugby, and one that, if you look at the season, I mean, I think that's probably the final that most people, you can't begrudge either side for being there.
Yeah, and talk about Leinster, first of all, they obviously missed out on this, and it's been quite a thing that they've been hammered on over the years, the last 4 years, that they haven't made a final. And for them, it's a bigger thing because they've missed out on the Champions Cup success as well. So this is their last chance on some sort of silverware. And there's a lot of pressure on there, Cullen, in Dublin. We keep on hearing it. And you sort of wonder if they lose this final, what his future would be, and what, especially if he goes, what the future would be of Jacques Nienaber, who's been blamed rather strangely for some of Ireland's woes, which is rather inconceivable. But there's certainly a lot more pressure on them that they would probably like in a final.
I have to agree. Even after last year's final, I thought, geez, they've lost another one. I wonder if Leo Cullen's going to survive it. And he did. I mean, the one thing you have to credit Leinster is that they're very method-driven. They're not going to sort of abandon the things that they've built over the years just because they've lost a particular final. And the same applies then to their personnel. So they like continuity in that sense. But if they were to stumble again, they're going to have to be some really hard conversations about personnel, especially in the coach's box. And of course, if he goes there, undoubtedly will have to be fallout elsewhere, further down the chain. So, the Jacques Nienaber's job then obviously becomes a talking point as well. And if you follow logical conclusions, then you have to wonder where it would go next.
Exactly. And I think there's a lot of South African teams who will be jumping at getting him involved in some respect. Although I think there'll be a lot of teams across the world that would probably want him as well. Just on Leinster, the interesting thing to me is, and I wonder if it's not more an Irish issue more than a Leinster issue in terms of the way that the national team has lost out on in World Cups and hasn't made anywhere past the quarterfinal. There seems to be a bigger sort of thing in big games where they are a team of internationals. I mean, Jake White put it the other day. He said, this is not just Leinster. They're basically Ireland. They're basically the British and Irish Lions because they've got 12 Lions players in their team. So it's quite a big
time. Trust Jake to ramp up the hyperbole. That's fantastic.
Never want to miss the moment, is he? Yeah. But let's quickly listen to Dan Sheehan. I was on a call with him earlier this week, and he did speak about that Champions Cup semi-final loss and how they're still hungry, and the Bulls mustn't think that they're hungrier than them. And just some thoughts on the Bulls. So let's have a listen.
Yeah. And, you can feel the buzz coming in this morning. People are excited. Another final to look forward to. And, I think we're happy with how we dealt with Glasgow and the threat of them on Saturday. But, I think the first conversation was that we need to up a level, and, finals are different. And, it's going to be a big challenge on Saturday. So I think everyone's looking forward to it. And an excited, hungry Bulls team who also have come up short the last few years, like ourselves, or come to town. So big battle ahead of us on Saturday. Obviously, they're quite focused on set piece, so they're scrumming more. But then they also control the game very well with the structured kicking game. So, like any team, we need to sort of notify their strengths and make sure we can impose our strengths on them. So that'll be a focus that we sort of work out towards the end of the week as we put our plan together. And going forward onto to Saturday, we'll look to bring our plan and the game plan we come up with during the week into action. Absolutely no way. We've had 6 weeks or however long it is to focus on the URC, and we've been trophyless the last however many years, and I think the hunger's there for sure in the group. And there's absolutely no way that a team would be hungrier than us.
Yeah, obviously he's one of their key players, Dan Sheehan. He scored 2 tries in that semi-final. Certainly a guy the Bulls have to have a look at. And Leinster have got some stars across the board. But I think the thing for the Bulls is to just stay in that fight this weekend. And then they'll give them a chance. I always thought Glasgow, if they were in that fight for the last 20, would have had a chance in that semi. But they were blown away early on.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it earlier. I mentioned the fact that they're very sort of method-driven, and that you can see that in the way they play as well. They use the short, intricate passes. The ball's probably a little bit more direct. Leinster's not scared to take the ball through multiple phases and wear you down. It's wave upon wave of attack. And the Bulls are obviously keenly aware of this. If we think back to the semi-final of 2022 when the Bulls went to Dublin, went into the unknown in many ways, but they got it tactically right on that occasion, denied Leinster the platforms that they so crave, where they can build up these phases. And of course, the line-out is a key component of that, is a key part of it. And I recall the Bulls didn't kick the ball out as often as people would have expected. They kicked it downfield and expected, and then, of course, Leinster would have to run it back or kick it back. So by denying them partly that platform, the Bulls were able to stunt a lot of that momentum or deny them that momentum. And they'll have to be as tactically savvy this time out. I'm not sure that they will necessarily go back to that same ploy, but they will have to be. They'll have to go into that game with some smart plans and also have to make some smart plans during the game as well. I mean, that's what it's going to require, because Leinster will, as you say, they've got so many game breakers across the park that that's going to be very difficult to keep them out.
Yeah, and I think if we go back to last year's semi-final as well at Loftus, the one man who was key in that semi-final, who got injured in that semi-final, was Billy LaRue, and he kept them pinned back. His tactical kicking in that game as well was one of the keys to their victory. And you just got a sense last season, being at that game, that the Bulls weren't going to lose that day. They need that sort of attitude in this weekend's game. Listen quickly though to Jake, and then we'll talk a bit about Vidi as well and his role in the game. But Jake, of course, playing up the fact that none of nothing in the past, and also not missing a trick instead of getting a barb or two in against Leinster, talking about how nothing in the past matters, and then also talking a bit about Cornell Hendricks and the fact that they're playing for them. Obviously, that's a big part of the Bulls' psyche going into this game, playing for their fallen teammates. An interesting one at Jake also. And I don't know if you know, when Cornell passed away, they talked all about the 14 jersey. He made his debut on the 14th of July. He got engaged on the 14th of September or something like that. But every date in his life, and he died on the 14th of May. And so this 14 number, his jersey number, is a huge part of the whole thing. And this is how Jake brings it up with the history of Croke Park, which, of course, was the scene of a very famous historical Irish massacre in 1920 in the Irish Revolution, where British troops opened fire at a football game and killed 14 people. So it's a weird way of tying things together, but let Jake explain it rather than me trying to explain it.
Please let him, yeah.
Yeah, look, I knew you guys were going to ask me, but at the same time, let's be fair, guys. It's completely different teams, and it's different competitions, and it's different venues, and it's different time of the year. I think people can look into so many things about, this team loses semis, and this team loses finals, and this team, a lot of Irish players who haven't, whatever. It's irrelevant. It doesn't make any difference to, I generally don't believe that any coach ever talks about what happened 20 years ago and you lost in a playoff four, I mean, this group of players have probably far exceeded the expectation of anybody in the last 4 years. I mean, to play 3 finals with average age of our team in the last 4 years has been the youngest of most teams in the competition. over and above that, the experience of international rugby compared to any other teams we played. You talk about the Glasgows, the Edinburghs, the Leinsters, the, you know, Munsters. I mean, they're laden with international players, and you guys would know the premium of what it's like to be an international player, play in front of big crowds, play in big stadiums, play in pressure situations is the thing that, that defines players that are good enough and not good enough, you know. So I'm not for 1 minute saying that we're not, you know, how can I put it? We're not aware of the fact that we've had three finals, but we're also very aware of the fact that we've exceeded everything that anyone's ever expected, and we've probably batted above our weight for a long time. But hopefully this game will be the one where we will learn from the two other opportunities we had to win a competition like this. He died on the 14th of May, and I think Saturday we play on the 14th of June. It's quite an ominous number, yes. Yeah. And quite funny enough, I mean, I was doing a bit of homework and I read that bloody Sunday, I think 14 people died at Croke Park. That's quite amazing if the number 14 comes up, you know. So there's a lot of, you know, nice, how can I put it, not obviously that, but the nice memories of Cornell that we will use as the number 14. And, you know, as I said, hopefully it'll be a fantastic day on the 14th of June for us as a club as well.
Is that being a discussion within the group? The fact that it is Croke Park, there is a history there, and
yeah,
zero awareness.
I have. I mean, you must understand a lot of these boys weren't around, and they probably, you know, haven't understood what the significance of Croke Park means in history. And I think, to be fair, if I'm really honest, I told them not to really comment or be sucked into anything that would lead anyone to read it the wrong way, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, everyone has, you know, has a feeling about it. And I just said, you know, but for us, the fact that it's the 14th of the month, the fact that just, you know, significantly 14 people, when I read it, was when I opened up the sort of the piece and I read, I thought, gee, isn't it quite spooky? You know, died on the 14th of May. I think his son was born on the 14th of December. There's a lot of relevance, number 14 not being used this weekend. And sometimes you need that. I mean, you know, you guys from Ireland would understand. Look what Munster did in the time that they lost their coach, you know, and how quickly that, all of a sudden, the reason why, and I use that as example, just turned the way Munster became for that year. So, you know, stars are aligned. Hopefully, as I said, we will, you know, we'll use that in our favour.
You never, Jake never misses an opportunity to entertain and to teach. He is, of course, an old school teacher, so he loves those moments.
Teacher doesn't rest.
Yeah, but listen, talking about Vidi, I think he is a key man just because of his experience. He's played in World Cup finals. He's the type of guy who's, interestingly, said to us when we chatted to him that the only silverware he's ever won at club level was with Willand winning the B section with Cornell Hendricks. He's never won a senior sort of club division title in any way. So this is big for him. And so I asked him as well, just what his message being a 98 test veteran and having won so much with the Springboks. Yeah, you know, when you see your teammates getting nervous, and the nerves all hit in this final for a lot of players, what do you do? What do you say to them? And this was his answer.
Hey, buddy. Good to chat to you. You've been in a lot of big games in your career, and you've been in quite a few big finals as well. And I know it's easy to say that the nerves always get to players and you've got to keep calm in these finals. But as one of the more senior players, how do you keep your teammates calm? How do you, when you see in that change room that they're over nerves, how do you, as a senior player, handle that?
No, I think I just try and do the a bit of advice that I can give younger guys and stuff that we play together is like, it's the same as playing the first game of the season. It's not to make put this on the pedestal and make this that much bigger, and then you crap into your shell and you don't want to try stuff and you don't want to run from your own half and you don't want to try something, because that's not what got us in here in the first place. We got here through taking chances. Like I say, if we see opportunity, we take it, and that's what you must do in these big games as well. Whether you make a mistake or not, it's about putting yourself out there, putting yourself in battles. You might lose a few battles, but you might also win. It's not just to, that's just the little things that I try and tell the guys is try and ask for the ball, get your hands on the ball and do as much as you can. Like I say, you might lose a few battles, but it's just about getting back up and putting yourself into as many as you can and have no doubts afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the, and also the, just, I mean, you spoke about playing for Cornell.
I know you've come a long road with Cornell through your whole career. You've played at several different teams with him. It's easy, I suppose, it's easy to say from the outside players play for each other and play for a fallen brother. But I mean, for you, that must be a bit more personal knowing your long history with Cornell as well.
Oh, yeah. That was obviously, that isn't something we woke up one morning and you expected ever to happen. I think what the Bulls have done is when we retired his jersey this season, and Moody has been playing with the number 24 jersey, and the photos and stuff at the back of our numbers. It's just reminding us every time before we put on the jersey, what a big influence he had at the club, his positive attitude he had over us all. When he literally walked into a room, he could light up that room. He was one of the funniest teammates you could ever have in your team. So, yeah, I think everyone knows you a bigger purpose and for who you are doing it. So now it's just about going out there and doing it and not just talking about it.
Yeah, he's become an old fox, hasn't he, old Willie LaRue? You can see the influence he has on that Bulls team. Never shy to run forward from his station at the back, share some words, not scared to talk to the referee as well. So there's no doubt. I mean, he's an absolute key player for them on Saturday with that experience. He's got the wherewithal. He has seen it all. I mean, it's very interesting that he hasn't won a domestic trophy anyway. And that's also will be an interesting motivation for him. But yeah, I find that a very interesting stat.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, look, either way, it's going to be the grand final, as they call it. But it's a massive game, just I think, in any sport. And there's some other finals as well this weekend. I mean, we've got to mention as well, Bath Rugby playing Leicester. Johan van Graan, obviously looking to do the triple with Bath, which would be an absolutely amazing achievement. And he's been on the pod several times, you know, as well, chatting to us. That would be wonderful. So we wish him good luck there. And of course, there's some Super Rugby going on as well. Not that we watch much Super Rugby nowadays, but are we all getting to this point where somebody's going to win trophies this weekend and somebody's going to be disappointed? So hoping for the Bulls, but to me, the whole thing about Leinster is the type of team that can get away from you very quickly. If you look at what they did at Glasgow, they can score 2-3 tries in sort of 5 minutes and just take that game away from you. You don't want to be playing catch-up against them.
They're very much a team that delivers the combination punches. It's not just one. It's like a bang, bang, bang. And then, they stunt the opposition and stun them. The Bulls will have to be aware of that. I mean, they will be keenly aware of all those things going into this game. Jake White is a very wily coach. I mean, I don't think they're going to go into this game unprepared. I mean, they will know what they need to do. But of course, knowing what to do or being armed with all this information is one thing. Execution and precision on the day is going to be required. Certainly a lot of composure. I mean, I can see a scenario where this game is very much in the balance after 65 minutes. And it will then come down to, obviously a lot will come down to the bench and some of the starters, like a Willie LaRue, for instance, who will, you'll need some cool heads to try and get the Bulls over the line because it's going to require superhuman effort.
Well, that's the one thing the Bulls have really got right this season is the impact of their bench and the way they've come into the game as well. If the guy who's probably been on the bench the least, Keegan Johannes, has had this fabulous season at fly-off when he's come in as well. There's really some strike power there as well. Also, I'm going to throw in another audio clip here quickly. We spoke to Aka Funamava as well, who asked him about the role of the bench and just about the final, and these were his words. You guys have obviously got quite a good record against Leinster. I think over the URC, you've won four of the six clashes against them. Not always the same team that you're obviously going to play this weekend, but last year's semi-final comes to mind where you guys were put up a very big performance. Going into this week's game, just how much, I mean, you're quite an experienced guy by now. How much does these big games still excite you and what are you expecting this weekend?
I think that is probably the one thing that we've been driving since Munster, Glasgow. It's just excitement all around. Just to have a smile on your face when you head on the field and just enjoy everything you do. I think, and it's been a massive turnaround point for us.
So, yeah, that's all I can really say about the final. It's going to be a massive game, but we're certainly hoping the Bulls do it. We wish Jake and the guys good luck. I think it'd be nice for them to get their first title. And it wouldn't be bad seeing Ireland struggle with another disappointment. I know that sounds terrible to say, but I mean, I think we're firmly in the Bulls' corner this weekend. But there's other stuff going on. There's a Springbok camp. There's 55 players who've convened in Joburg. A whole lot. There's a whole lot of hotel rooms that have been booked out there. So, and starting the preparations. It's just, well, the interesting thing was, I don't know if you saw the training kit the other day. It was just rather horrible. I think that's what caused the first sort of interest. And it almost looked like it was done at the last minute. And it confirmed a bit later that the sponsor did come on board a bit later. And so that the logo was just put on and it didn't quite match.
It's amazing how often this happens where, you know that there is a particular sponsorship in the pipeline, but then when it comes to getting the actual name onto a shorts or a shirt becomes an issue because of timing. This is not the first time it's happened, that's for sure. I did look a bit rushed and it was like, let's test the waters with the actual logo. Of course, the following day that there was a more sort of, let's put it this way, a palatable version of the same sponsor on the jersey, incorporating the colors, the Bok colors. So, it's just a very weird space some people operate in where, you've got all this planning going into it and then you end up with, I don't want to say negative press, but it was certainly a very much a talking point online.
Yeah, I thought it was one of those that maybe it was the thing, we've got this jersey, let's just use it and get it out the way, then we've ticked the box.
And the guys who handed stickers on the bus as they left.
It was just, it's just a reminder that no matter how professional the setup, there are these things that do happen. And you feel for the people involved because sometimes it's just they have to honor a contractual thing.
There are always a ton of people have to sign off on different things, and we understand it at this take time. But I mean, geez,
there's a little storm in the teacup, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't take away from the fact that the Springboks.
You've got to wonder whether a lot of their game now will revolve around a lot of pick and go, but we'll have to wait to see.
And hopefully, they won't pay for that anyway. But the Boks are training, obviously, a large part of that 55 man squad. Is not going to play. So it's going to be interesting to see in the next, a bit more this week about from Rossi when he has his first press conference about what exactly happens and why certain players, especially the UCT winger and the Tokozo Makaza, who was quite a bolter to come in, hasn't played professional rugby, if he's just there just to soak up the experience. But there's a number
of... It would be something if he gets a game against the Barbarians. I mean, that would be just sensational obviously for him.
Well, that's the thing. It's not a test cap, that one, as far as I'm concerned.
No, of course not.
So it would be interesting to see what he does. But look, he's not the first guy to be picked ever out of, I wouldn't say non-professional ranks. So it's happened in the past, but it's just, it'd be interesting.
In fact, I recall Joe Farnica got picked for the Boks without playing Currie Cup or Super Rugby to that stage. Yeah. I think he only had a couple of Vodacom Cup games.
And he certainly had a good Springbok career and went on out there. I think they had over 50 tests at that stage before he went to the jungles of Costa Rica. There's somebody we should get on the podcast. I think he'd have a good few stories away from rugby. But it's can't tell too much now. I think in the next couple of weeks it'll start taking shape. And after Rossi speaks, we'll start getting an idea of what the plans are against the Barbarians. We're expecting a younger team to play against them and very much an experimental side.
Yeah, and it's a Barbers game, so you would obviously want to see a little bit of hunger. Who's keen to play for the Springboks? It's one thing to see a team or a player perform at provincial level or at franchise level. After a few weeks of the Springboks, what have they learned? I think that's what he wants to probably see in that Barbarians game. How do they respond to, if you're playing the Barbarians, certainly there's going to be a lot of the unknown. You know, how do they react to that? So there's a few, it can be very helpful for him.
Definitely. And I think the couple of Barbarians players that have been named so far, certainly a lot of test caps next to them. So they'll certainly have a few tricks. And I think that's the thing, to throw these
yeah, it's to the tricks and put the young Bok guys under pressure and see how they react. I think that's will be the key for Rassie, and just to see what they do in those sort of situations.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to wrap it there, Brendan.
Yeah, well, there's not much more to say. Good luck to the Bulls, we hope, and good luck to Bath.
Yeah.
And we hope they do well. And hopefully we talk again next week with talking about a couple of trophies coming to South Africa. Johan van Kraan can bring it in for the pod. Maybe we can see it there. So we're hoping for some good news, but it's going to be an interesting week as well. But thank you for listening. Next week will probably be our last episode for the season, just wrapping up the season as well. Got a couple of other ideas, and we'll talk more about that next week. But thanks for listening. Cheers.
Yeah, absolutely. Have fun, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks for listening. For the latest insights and rugby analysis each week, plus new episode alerts, please follow or subscribe to the series. Or find all episodes at jacarandafm.com or the Jackpot app.